Martin. Welcome to Who's Talking. Well, the September issue of Our State Magazine is here, and there are lots of great articles. One about the UNC Adventures and Ideas program led by our own Wayne Pond. Many other articles. I've got Vicki Jarrett, the editor of Our State, to tell us about the magazine. Also in the studio is Dr. Wayne Pond himself, the Word of the Day man, Ron Stutz. Vicki's got with her in her studio over in Greensboro, her wonderful promotions person, Amy Wood, who has also written a wonderful article about a great restaurant we're going to be talking about, going down the Neuse in a canoe, riding bicycles across the Outer Banks, and lots of other wonderful things that are happening in North Carolina, all brought to you thanks to the great work of Vicki Jarrett. And Vicki, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, DG.
Tell us about the September issue of Our State Magazine.
Well, the focus of the September issue is on teachers and teaching. And this is something that we have kind of tapped into before, and it was so well received that we wanted to come back and kind of readdress it. But before we get into very many of those stories, I also want to mention that we have a beautiful photo essay that really is a little bit different for us, in that we talked to a photographer about a year ago and asked him to do this photography over the course of the past 12 months so that we could have this in our September issue. And it's photography from the Uwaries, from the PD Wildlife Refuge, from that general area, and so it's real scrapbook of these beautiful natural areas in central North Carolina.
Well, Vicki, I'm of course looking at it. I'm sorry that the radio so far doesn't permit us to share these wonderful views and wonderful photographs of the URAs and that area that you got there, but all we can just say is in the magazine, if you love color photography and love North Carolina, you'll love this essay.
Absolutely, and I think it's a good reminder when you look at these pictures that we do have some of the most gorgeous, breathtaking natural beauty on the planet right here in our home state.
Well, Vicki, how am I going to say this? One of the most interesting articles for me is the article about the Adventures and Ideas program, and you were kind enough to let me write about our own Wayne Pond's Adventures and Ideas program, and maybe I could get you to tell us why you wanted it as a part of this.
Well,
this
absolutely.
Issue.
In wanting to put together this issue about teachers and teaching, we wanted to really cover a broad range of ages and of programs. And so we have everything from elementary school teachers to the smallest K through 12 school in the state. Literacy programs, all kinds of things, and I was really attracted to the program that I had learned about there at UNC, this Adventures in Ideas, because one of the things that we hear from our readers over and over again is how much they love an opportunity to keep on learning. And that's exactly what this story is, and I'll let you and Dr. Pond just take it away, but all these seminars that just ask questions and challenge your thinking, that's absolutely what we wanted to celebrate in this issue.
DG, Vicki, if I may, it's Wayne Pond. Vicki, thank you so much for running this piece about Adventures and Ideas. It is, you know, we really think of it as the work of the Lord at UNC, because our responsibility is to take the expertise and the elegance of our faculty across the university, but particularly in the College of Arts and Sciences. It's our mission to take their work and their expertise to the public. And this piece that you are running about Adventures and Ideas is just absolutely wonderful. I mean, it really communicates the heart of what we're up to. And DG, thank you for coming to UNC and the humanities program and doing this piece. If I may, I'd like to echo what Vicki just said about teachers. Our audience is essentially retired people who, you know, have the time and the means and the inclination to come to these programs. But a large segment of the audience that we serve is exactly, Vicki, as you just said. That is to say, teachers who come back for renewal credit, K through 12, public and private school teachers and instructors from our community. community college system all over the state. And it is just a joy to watch them sit at the feet of these marvelous professors that that agree to speak at our Adventures and Ideas seminars. There are just magical moments that occur in these programs. DG has seen this. The example that you cite in our state this month is the seminar that we did on William Richardson Davy, the man who started the University of North Carolina. That was a good focal point of the piece in our state magazine. But thank you so much for mentioning just this wide spectrum of people that we deal with. On behalf of the humanities program, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Well, Wayne, let me jump in, Vicki. We're proud of Wayne Pond and what he does. The thing, Ron Stutz is with us, and one of the great things about living in Chapel Hill is all of these wonderful activities, like Adventures and Ideas, that happen right here, and people come from all over the state to participate in a program like Adventures and Ideas. They pay money to stay overnight for their meals and everything. It's available to us in Chapel Hill essentially for only the cost of admission. And it's incredibly stimulating, good. You get to rub shoulders with the best teachers. So, Wayne, we thank you.
Some of us who are fortunate enough to live here in Chapel Hill, unfortunately, take it for granted. You know,
yeah,
there's so many advantages to being here, and we just don't think about them. But Dr. Pond is with us every day on the radio here, and we think about him often. But there are some great opportunities there with that program.
And I'd like to add one thing that Dr. Pond mentioned, and that is this idea of renewal for teachers. I think a lot of people don't realize how much time teachers have to spend keeping themselves up to speed on their area of expertise and constantly renewing their credits and renewing their education. And teachers don't just learn how to teach and then go off and do it. There's constantly that having to be educated themselves. And this is such a wonderful program to both accommodate that as well as the older learner who would like to just be invigorated, and I think it's just a wonderful program on both scores.
Vicki, let me chime in on that score. The teachers who come to our seminars tell us that they have many opportunities to do sort of procedural and pedagogical kinds of programs, but one of the things that we're very proud of at Adventures and Ideas is that this is really the substance of what they teach. History, literature, philosophy, religion, sociology, elements of the law and medicine, public policy, public health. I mean, we just, you know, as the piece in our state will demonstrate, we really do cover the gamut. And these teachers come to our programs. We're very proud of the fact that we can offer these programs basically at a half-price discount for our teachers. That makes it easier for them to come. And again, when they turn up for these seminars, there are just wonderful, magical moments that they share with our faculty members.
Wayne, we're going to give you the chance to... I'd call it free advertising, but really it's a chance to share with some folks in Chapel Hill some of the seminars that are coming up in the next few weeks and few months.
Sure. Let me just run down this very quickly. In mid-September, we're going to do a program called Empires Across Time. The Romans, the Incans, the Victorians. We're going to ask the question, is the United States at the beginning of the 21st century, is it an empire? Toward the end of September, we're going to do a program on privacy and national security. The title of the seminar is Dilemmas of the Information Age. We've got the dean of the School of Information and Library Science at Chapel Hill. We have law professors from Duke and from UNC, and we have a medical professor from Carolina who will speak at that seminar. In early October, we're going to do our signature lecture program. It is a program named for Maynard Adams, the Keenan professor of philosophy who helped to start the humanities program back in 1979. And our speaker this year, this is the 8th of October, it's a Sunday afternoon, is Professor George Lensing. He's a Bowman and Gordon Gray Professor of English. He runs the UNC Undergraduate Center for Scholarships, all the many scholarships that the university offers to undergraduate students. We're doing programs on moral philosophy. We're going to do a program trying to recap the idea of pandemics. How have societies dealt with pandemics?
Wayne, I hate to interrupt you.
Just but you're going to do
to talk
it.
Too much. It's all laid out in our state magazine.
Well, let me just mention this, DG. Adventuresinideas.unc.edu. That's all you need to find us on the web, and you can get a complete summary of
there
all, these,
go. And that,
all
that,
these programs.
That website's also listed in the magazine article. Vicki, again, thank you so much for letting me write this article and for your time in talking about it today. We really do love Wayne Pond at WCHL, and I'm not sure Ron Stutz, everybody here understands what a great service Wayne Pond renders to the rest of Chapel Hill, in addition to what he does for WCHL listeners.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy has been around for, he was here before I was. And that pretty much tells you all you need to know, back before the flood. But Wayne Pond is a wonderful resource.
Ron and I know where all the radio bodies are buried, more or less.
All right. Well, it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, Vicki Jarrett's going to introduce us to Amy Jo Wood, who's going to tell us about an article that she wrote about the Homestead Steakhouse and Restaurant, a wonderful place to eat that's not too far from Chapel Hill. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. I'm joined in the studio with Ron Stutz and Wayne Pond, our great morning folks. And over in Greensboro, Vicki Jarrett, editor of Our State Magazine, and her colleague, Amy Jo Wood. Vicki Jarrett, you got one of your best staff members who is a great writer, but her job at Our State is promotions, and you persuaded her to do one of the tasks.
Right.
I'm so jealous. I mean, but tell us about...
Well, everybody likes to eat, right?
I know it.
Amy is our marketing director here, but she is also a frequent freelance writer for us for the magazine, and when she came up with this story, how in the world could we possibly say no? We have highlighted the Homestead Steakhouse and Restaurant in Person County. And I'll let Amy jump in, but I told her this morning I am just dying to go. After reading her article, she has just whet my appetite. I have just got to go visit the caches in Person County.
Well, thank you, Vicki. We're all dying to go. It's starting to get a little bit towards lunchtime, and I don't know if we can make it. They're not open for lunch, but we...
Well, how about supper?
They're open for supper, DG. You got supper right about every night. I am the promotions director here, and I was actually on a promotional kind of tour up in Person County and meeting with the folks up in Roxburgh and having a good time, and they said, you've got to meet the caches at the Homestead. Well, of course, they were driving, so I went right along with them, and boy, am I glad I did. One story after another from these people. Randy just went on. He has such enthusiasm for the Homestead, for the land, for his food, for the people, and I came back, and I was... convinced. I said, Vicki, we have got to write about this restaurant.
And let me tell you, when Amy Jo Wood says we have got to write about this restaurant, I pay attention.
Well, you did a great job, Amy Jo, and the photographs illustrating some of the dishes and also showing us what the caches look like is great. Tell us about sitting down and going to work on whatever they put in front of you.
I had to do two visits to the Homestead. It was such a good meal. I said, well, I believe I can do a little more research on this place. So I went up there twice on a Sunday afternoon and ate a lot of food. And the pie, there's a pie that's in the story that's huge, 6 inches of meringue chocolate pie. And it's made by a woman known as the Chocolate Pie Queen. Her name is Molly. DG, we went there and talked to the caches just a moment, sat down, ate lunch, and it's all the Southern favorites, you know, catfish and fried chicken and meatloaf and real mashed potatoes, which they peel by hand, and that's worth a trip in itself right there, and homemade biscuits, light and fluffy. Anyway, after we got through, Molly came out with a pie she had made in the time frame we were there to take with us. So
well,
we were one lucky.
I wish you'd stopped by Chapel Hill on the way back home and left, you know, my share.
Well, you weren't home, so we just went on.
Amy Jo, talking about Chapel Hill and Person County, I have to confess that a lot of my neighbors, and Wayne, you too, are kind of insular, and they don't realize that Person County is right here. Mm-hmm. How would you go from Chapel Hill up there to get to the Homestead?
Well, I don't go based on these directions, but it's off of 40 And you just do the 15501 thing and keep going, and then there's some winding paths that you have to do, not too winding. But I tell you, the best way to find the direction, it's not far, probably I'd say maybe 40 minutes at the most, but the best way to find the direction is to go to the website, www.thehomesteadsteakhouse.com. But of course, okay. You could call, and there's some... All that's in the magazine as well.
DG and Vicki and Wendy, Amy, I'm sorry, it's Wayne Pond. In that wonderful piece that you all ran about adventures and ideas, at one point DG said to me, where do the ideas for these seminars come from? Well, we're listening to the birth of one of them right now. May I steal your title?
May I steal your title,
Tar Heel Tastes?
Oh,
I mean, think about this. You could do a seminar about the history of cuisine in North Carolina, and yum, we'll put it together in such a way that we actually sit down and not only talk about the food, but eat some of it too. DG, would you pay money, good money, to
no,
come to
I
that
would
seminar?
No, I would want to be on the faculty as the author of Interstate Eateries. I want to be on your faculty for that. I don't think we've given Wayne a copy of that book. You don't have a copy of Interstate Eateries, do you?
I think Mary Donna does.
Yeah, okay.
She's the official keeper of cookbooks in our house.
But Amy Jo would be your lead faculty member. We'd put Billy Ferris. We've got Jim Early. We've got
Who's the guy at Carolina? Jim Ferguson, who teaches a course in the history is it continental cuisine?
And
we just changed the focus.
UNCTV's and our state's own Bob Gardner. You got hundreds of people. You'd have to feed on the fact.
I think Ron and I could do a session on Tar Heel desserts. We'll call it just desserts.
I volunteer as a taste tester.
Well, a great idea. Amy, this is a wonderful article. Thanks for writing it and for sharing it with us. I might drive up there tonight for supper, but if you were going with me, what would you tell me to order?
Well, I would tell you to get one of their ribeye steaks. Renowned. They have the wonderful way of cooking it, grilled, of course, and they've got, baked potatoes. I do the traditional the first night because they mostly serve steak and seafood and such in the evening. I just get me a nice ribeye steak, medium rare, baked potato with butter, sour cream, salt, and pepper, and a nice salad with whatever kind of dressing you like, a little glass of sweet tea or wine, depending on your favorite, and be sure and get dessert.
Well, it's great. There's one other connective link that you point out so well in the article, and that is that although we think of Bob Timberlake as being from Vicky's country, that actually that family originated up there near the restaurant, and that there are a lot of Bob Timberlake, there are reminders of Bob Timberlake and the Timberlake family in the restaurant.
Well, it's his family's old home place, the exact land where, his cousins grew up, and he went and played as well. So
it's North Carolina's all connected.
Yep. Thank you, DG, for having me.
Oh, Amy Jo, thank you for being a part of it. And let's us take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the Neuse River and about biking on the Outer Banks right after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm joined in the studio with Wayne Pond and Ron Stutz, our wonderful WCHL folks, and over in Greensboro with Vicki Jarrett, the editor of Our State Magazine. And, Vicki, you've got two other wonderful articles about different ways to travel in this month's issue. Would you tell us about them?
Sure. One of them we called A River Rediscovered, and it was written by John Hare, who's with us this morning or this afternoon. And I just wanted to mention something about both of these articles, but in particular about John's, and that is what a wonderful sense of rediscovery is in these stories, where you can actually explore and travel. And John's story is literally a modern exploration of the Neuse River, kind of through a survey route that was, 100 years plus, maybe almost 200 years, taken 200 years ago, and it's just always interesting to retrace those steps and see not only what has changed, because certainly things do, but how much is still the same.
Well, John, tell us about your trip and about and a little share a little bit of the story that you did so well in the Our State article.
Yeah, well, the trip, believe it or not, actually began there in Chapel Hill.
Is that
and,
right?
Which sounds kind of unusual, but what happened was I was doing some research about some of the rivers in the state, and I was up in the North Carolina collection and ran across an old newspaper article dated December of 1816. And it was written by a gentleman named Colonel Benjamin Baldwin, and he had been hired by the state to make a survey of some of the rivers, and one of these rivers was the Neuse. And in this article, he mentioned some of these landmarks that he had encountered, some of the rapids and different shoals and whatnot that were going to have to be overcome if they were going to open the Neuse to navigation as far up as Governor Stone's Mill, which would have been near the mouth of Walnut Creek, just outside of Raleigh. And back in that day, that would have been a great boon for what we call economic development today, had they been able to open up an inland port all the way that far upstream.
This was sort of like...
They didn't do it.
John, this was sort of like Lewis and Clark's expedition in a minor trying to extend the route of commerce through an area, trying to make the Neuse useful as far as navigation, I guess, is concerned.
That's right. River navigation was vitally important to the early settlers and to our forebears back in 200 years ago. A lot of the travel took place on the rivers because, of course, the roads were dirt roads and paths and stuff, and people being much like we are today, they want to take the easiest route. They would stick to the water when they could.
John, when you were making this trip yourself and kind of going up the river, were you able to recognize some of the landmarks and some of the features of the river that were mentioned in Colonel Baldwin's report?
Well, there's plenty of them if you know what you're looking for. There are a lot of different landmarks and stuff that you can find, the little rapids and stuff that are down there. Some of them, he gave them some neat names. One of them, Broken Lake Falls, which is a little set of rapids, just north of Clayton over there. And Hen and Chicken Rapids, I don't know where he came up with that one, but that one's sort of an interesting name. And a lot of these rapids are named for early settlers. There's like a Smith's Falls and a Perry's Falls, Lockhart's Falls, and places like that. Now I didn't find any evidence where they built any locks and dams, and there's no real evidence that they ever got that far with the project.
Mm-hmm. Well, you... John, you live in Lillington, and you get to watch another river go by. Are you going to explore that for us and share that with us maybe in a later edition?
Well, be more than happy to. I'm always going down to Cape Fear.
Well, that's it.
Always going down there. I'll make the run from Averysboro down to Fayetteville and tell you all about it.
That sounds great. This is a wonderful article, Vicki. Thanks for including it. Your map maker does a great job also of illustrating the course of the Neuse, showing
right.
Reference points that we know about, and then some of these things that were important in the early part of the 19th century. Wayne Pine's got to come in.
Wayne, here. John, I have a question for you. Tar Heel trivia. Is it true that the New River is really an old, old, old river?
In geological sense, it sure is.
Yeah, that's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I say that's a contradiction.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, I guess it's new in a geological sense. But supposedly it was running long before the mountains out there ever started to uplift.
Well, this is what these guys do every day with trivia and words of the day. I've got a young woman who lives in my hometown who traveled out to the Outer Banks for a bike trip. I learned to ride my bike in Davidson, Rosie, and so I'm interested in how you happen to get interested in bicycle riding on the Outer Banks.
Well, I spent 2005 doing two different team and training events, which is a fundraiser for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and with those events I participated in two century rides, which is 100-mile bike rides. And after that experience, which was a great experience, I thought I'd really like to just ride my bike to ride my bike and not to race and not to try to get to a destination as fast as possible. And so was looking for a leisurely way to ride my bike this year and came across Carolina Tailwinds and thought, that's it. the other exciting thing for me was that my husband really hadn't spent much time on a bike, and so it was a neat way to introduce him to a sport that I really enjoy.
Tell us about the Outer Banks and what's there to see from the bike side of it that you might not see otherwise.
We went through, we started in Beaufort, and I'd never been to the Southern Outer Banks, and so for me it was all eye-opening, and we were graced with two tour guides who are also the owners of the company who just know a lot about North Carolina. And so in Beaufort, we went on a historic bike ride through the town and went from looking at Hammock House, where there is some Blackbeard legend, to going to the old burying ground in Beaufort, which is unbelievable, and the stories there of shipwrecked passengers who are buried, and the range of folks who are buried there is really something else. The next day, we traveled through the Cedar Island Wildlife Refuge, which for me was really breathtaking. We had a strong headwind that morning, and the refuge was so beautiful that I could forget the headwinds for a couple hours and just take in all the navy and hunter green that was around us. And then we took the ferry across Pamlico Sound and wound up in Ocracoke and had the afternoon to explore Ocracoke, which was nice. And then we went from Ocracoke to Hatteras, did the ferry ride across Hatteras, and spent the afternoon in Hatteras and came back. And then on the fourth day, we returned from Ocracoke to Beaufort.
Wow. And so a lot of ferry riding and bike riding.
Yep. And then we also had a day, an evening of kayaking.
Wow. Where did you stay? What kind of place did you stay in?
In Ocracoke, we stayed at the castle at Silver Lake, and that was just a great bed and breakfast, and we were there for two nights. And then in Beaufort, we stayed at the Pecan Tree Inn and ate at the Beaufort Grocery Company, which was great.
Well, Vicki, what a great article.
It is. And one of the really neat things that I think Rosie brought out so well in her article is that you can definitely see these things in a car while you're traveling to these places, but when you're on a bike or when you're walking, you get to be a part of it in a different way. And I was reading her descriptions, and I've been to some of these places myself, and I thought, boy, she just captured them so well, and I could feel that wind, you know, just reading about it with her. That's one of the things I really liked about talking about this two-wheel tour.
Well, I threw my bicycle in the back of the car and took it to Wrightsville Beach 2 weeks ago, and we went on vacation and found that there are several things that are wonderful about having a bike on the coast. One is it's flat.
Exactly.
And it just makes it for totally pleasurable bike riding. And the other is it's just a great way to get from place to place without having to worry about parking and where you're going to take the car and everything. So, Rosie, when I saw that Vicki had included your article in Our State magazine, I got real excited, and I was even more excited as I read it because it introduced the possibility that you could really take a vacation on a bicycle without wearing yourself out. You know, that you can.
And our group just ranged in age and ranged in ability, from my husband who really doesn't bike at all to a couple men who are serious bikers and really, you know, went all out in those rides and, you know, would get to places 10 minutes before the rest of us. And so it was good because the tour operators did a great job of accommodating everyone's speed and temperament. And, you know, we all felt as if we were very well attended to. We were very well attended to.
Well, it's great. If I can get Ron Stutz and Wayne Pine on the bicycles, we'll go down and join you the next time you go down to the Outer Banks.
Perfect.
Well, I want to thank Vicki for getting John Hare and Rosalie to write these wonderful articles about different ways to travel in North Carolina to see wonderful things about our state that we might not see if we were just in the car. So thanks to John and Rosie for these great articles, and Vicki, thanks for bringing them to us.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other articles in Our State magazine, and we're going to learn about the new chancellor at the University of North Carolina at Asheville. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm joined in the studio by our friends Wayne Pond and Ron Stutz over in Greensboro. Vicki Jarrett, editor of Our State Magazine, has sort of taken us through the magazine and sharing with us some of the wonderful stories about North Carolina in the magazine. One of them, we just finished talking about bike riding on the Outer Banks, and I didn't realize it, but Ron Stutz is a bike rider on the Outer Banks. Tell us about it, Ron.
I don't know if I'd call myself a bike rider, but we vacationed in Ocracoke not too long ago, and my whole family rented bikes for the whole week. And pretty much the best way to get around there is either walking or biking. You don't want to drive your car. You feel guilty if you drive your car after you've been there for a day and see how things work. And it was really a lot of fun. It was great exercise, and you can get up close and personal and see things in a way that you couldn't possibly see them if you're in a car.
Well, that's great. I'm real interested in the biking article, Vicki Jarrett, because there's a real movement concentrated in Durham and Raleigh to connect those two towns by bike trails,
right.
And they're just about there with the backbone of the Tobacco Trail, and then Raleigh is extending its network. We want to really make a push here in Chapel Hill to connect some of our bikeways with those trails, so you'll be able to ride all over the triangle with bicycles.
Well, as Ron says, it's healthier for us, it's healthier for the environment, so it can't help but be a good thing, right?
Well, that's right.
And there's a great attitude there, too. They really respect bike riders and expect people to be on bikes. And so people kind of slow down for you, and nobody's in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of different when you're trying to ride here. I would imagine those of you who ride on a regular basis, DG, you don't get that same kind of response from motorists.
Well, yeah, you do. Vicki, Bill Smith from Crooks, the wonderful cookbook author and also the mm-hmm. chef at Crook's Corner,
right,
does not have a car. He goes from place to place on his bicycle.
I think that's wonderful.
And one day he even got on his bike and rode to the beach. it's possible, and
right.
And keeps us in better shape, and it keeps cars. Anyway, that's my thing. But Vicki, you got a whole. We couldn't talk about all the wonderful articles in
your
magazine.
No, we couldn't.
What did we miss? What did we really miss?
Well, you know, we do have a lot of wonderful articles, and I at the risk of making the whole issue sound like it's nothing but teaching in schools, that really is the focus of our feature stories. One, since we were just talking about Ocracoke, we did do a story about the smallest K through 12 public school in the state, which is on the island of Ocracoke, and it's called Ocracoke School. And that's just a fun little story. You know, there are all kinds of challenges and opportunities that present themselves when you only have 92 students, K through 12, or maybe it's up to 104 this year. But that's one story we have. Another one, I think everybody'd be interested in knowing. A lot of times people say, where do your story ideas come from? And we had a story about Captain Harper and the Lenoir High School Band. A wonderful story that a reader brought to my attention, the idea for it, at our Best of Our State event last year, January, at the Grove Park Inn.
Vicki, and, sorry to interrupt you about that story, but that story touched me. Captain Harper had a close connection with Davidson, and one of the people he sent to Davidson out of that Lenoir band is a guy named Joe Robinson, who went on to become the lead, the best oboist in the world. He was mm-hmm. the first lead oboist in the New York Philharmonic. And all of this went back to the things that Captain Harper did. So thanks for that
great
article. Oh,
it's a wonderful story. And it's not just the history in his 50-some years there, but he left such a legacy that the Lenoir High School band building and all that he left behind is continuing on with a new life as a new school of the arts there in the community. And it just wonderful what one man was able to accomplish and how he's continuing to impact the people in that area.
Well, Vicki, one of your wonderful articles is a article about the new chancellor at the University of North Carolina at Asheville. I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about that
yes,
article.
Yes, we called it Coming Home because Dr. Ann Ponder is a native of Asheville, grew up there, and her family is there. And she had her heart, mind, and goal set on returning to Asheville. And so she was very excited and eager for the position when it became open as chancellor of UNCA. And our story is about Dr. Ponder coming home, and Tommy Hayes did a wonderful job with that story. And as I understand it, even though she's been there now for several months, she is being installed as chancellor in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's great, and you've recruited one of North Carolina's finest writers, Tommy Hayes, whose article, great novels, to write that article, and we're going to be able to talk to him. So let's see if we can talk to Tommy Hayes right now. Guys, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to link up with Tommy Hayes. He did write a great article, and Wayne Pond, Tommy's wonderful article about UNCA's new chancellor, mm-hmm. Ann Ponder,
yep.
is about someone whom you know.
Well, this is a happy coincidence, DG. I mean, I'm glad to be here to talk about adventures and ideas and chat with you and Vicki and, what is it, a cast of about 10,000 on this program this time around, not to mention the estimable runs.
We're just trying to load up just like adventures
yeah,
and
but
ideas
let me,
brings
let me
interesting
tell you,
people. We try to bring a bunch of
let
interesting
Let me tell you
people.
A great story about Ann Ponder. She's about to be installed as, what is it, the 5th, 6th, 7th chancellor up at UNC Asheville. That'll be in September of 06. But my happy memory of Ann goes back, easily 30 years. She and I were graduate students in the English department at UNC. And if my memory serves, Ann also sat at the feet of a man named Hugh Holman, who was a legendary professor at UNC Chapel Hill. He was a Keenan Professor of English, served as Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. He was, on an interim basis, I think he was the Dean of the Graduate School. And wrote a dissertation about detective fiction and film. Now, you say, what's the big deal? Well, back 30, 35 years ago, that was really kind of pioneering work, for the venerable Department of English at UNC. To grant a degree to somebody, who was writing about detective fiction and film. I think Ann studied with Howard Harper, who is still here in Chapel Hill. He's retired from the UNC
Great
English
teacher.
Faculty.
Great
yeah,
teacher.
And she also worked with professors over in what was then called RTVMP, Radio, TV, and Motion Pictures. And the further happy memory that I have of Ann Ponder is that in an earlier incarnation, I did a public radio show with a lot of scholars and writers, and Ann came out to the Humanities Center, and she says, I've got a radio program I'd like to do about detective fiction, and she introduced me to a guy named Robert Parker. Now, I don't know if you follow detective fiction, but he's the guy that created the Spencer series. He lives up in Boston. He'd only written one or two books at that point, but we brought him down from Boston. And I got this on tape somewhere. It was just a great conversation. Ann went on to become a professor of English at, it was Elon or Guilford, I'm not sure.
Elon, I think both places.
Was it? Yeah. Was it? And then she went to Kenyon College and then really got into the higher ranks of academic administration. She was a college president at Colby Sawyer. And now, what, about a year ago, she came back to, not Chapel Hill, but to Asheville, and that's a homecoming for her, as this piece in Our State magazine puts it, because she grew up in the
mountains. Well, she's got lots. I guess the important thing is that she's a, although she grew up in the mountains, she's a Chapel Hill woman, yeah. having done her... done
she
her work
did,
here.
Did a yeah. PhD here. And I think, DG, you would know this better than anybody, but I think she is a niece of Zeno Ponder, who was the legendary mountain politician.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, those Ponders are all connected. The other connection here is, Tommy Hayes points out in his wonderful article, is that Michael McPhee, who grew up in Asheville, had Ponder's grandmother, Beatrice Ponder, in the first grade at Valley Springs School. So... all kinds of connections.
Another example of 6 degrees of separation.
Right.
There's something for us all to ponder.
Courtesy of D.G. Martin.
Well, lots to ponder always. On
hey, and what can we say except good luck? I mean, that's a great school, wonderful reputation, undergraduate teaching and scholarship, and I think Ann will do a great job up there.
Well, Wayne Pond and Ron Stutz.
Not
thanks.
Ponder, but Pond.
Thanks so much for helping. We know that the next word of the day might be Ponder, and it's a thrill for me to have these guys helping.
It's scary to contemplate, isn't it?
You guys aren't related, are you? Pond, Ponder.
It's time to quit. It's time to say goodbye. Thanks to all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.